Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of the Supercarcast. This is definitely a rougher audio quality cast because we are all recording remote thanks to the coronavirus. So it's all through our phones and everything as we figure this out. But we just wanted to hammer one out. We talked about some things that we lost in another episode that we had recorded, and just sort of talk about what we're shopping for right now. You know, usual car guy stuff. So take a listen and let us know what you think.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, welcome everybody to the Supercarcast. This is episode, well, I guess technically we're redoing episode five, right, Drew?
Yeah, this is 5 and 6.
Five and six. Yeah, we lost an episode in there, thanks to technology, but it happened, so we'll get over it. But I'm your host, Oliver, and joining me are my fellow co-hosts, Andre. I'm pointing at you, Andre. You can't see me. Just say
Did
hello.
we lose Andre?
Did his phone die?
Guys, am I still there?
Hi.
Hello?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Let's
I'm leaving
stop
this in.
that. Okay, so I may have to keep my screen on because my screen was off and I guess I disconnected.
This is gonna be a 20-minute podcast. Okay, so there's Drew
Hello.
and Nick.
Hi there.
So, if you haven't gathered, listeners, we're not in the same room. We're practicing excellent social distancing and quarantining and isolation.
Just when you thought our audio couldn't get any worse.
Our audio is good,
Enter virus pandemic.
man. Yeah, it's not great, but at least we are still recording. We did lose an episode, so we recorded a whole episode. And what happened, Drew? Can you give us the rundown of what happened?
Yeah, my laptop just died. It was supposed to be backed up to a remote drive, but it wasn't. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I was pretty
You know, you think
heartbroken.
for somebody who you think for somebody who works in IT, you know.
Yeah, well, we're all arrogant, so we're like, nah, it won't happen to me. We're good. My computer's good.
Man, that is eerie with current events.
Yeah, we're like a certain country. I'm not gonna name names.
So what do we talk about in that episode? Because it's been a while, because we recorded that, and I would say about a week later, everyone was sent home from work. Everyone was well, not everyone in this
I
podcast,
was gonna say
I guess,
asterisks, not quite everyone.
Well, I think somebody bought a rectangle.
a rectangle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be Oliver,
you bought
you.
Oliver, you bought a new car. But yeah, but we're calling it a rectangle. That's the first word.
Well,
Yeah,
I don't want to
I
give it
bought it.
away.
I bought
Drew
a.
only works in shapes now. That's all he does.
Well, I
Kind
am
of like it
talking into
though.
a circle right now.
I did buy a new car. I got a new daily driver. It's not super interesting, but it's a 2011 Acura TSX. I don't know. You guys rode in it. I think everyone's been in the car now. What do you guys think?
I love it.
Yeah. Why?
It's perfect. It's super reliable.
Sure.
It's super boring, which I know sounds dumb, but it's a daily, so
Right.
it's comfy. It's got heated seats. It's reliable. It's like you can put stuff in the back.
Yeah. Oh, well, I should say I don't think I mentioned it's a wagon.
Oh,
So
right, yeah.
yeah, so that's the big
Rectangle.
thing. That's I guess where the rectangle comes
That's
in.
yeah, that's what makes it a rectangle, but it's a very useful rectangle,
It
and
is.
I love it.
Yeah. You know, I've been I have to drive the car twice a day because I am house sitting for some people who are now stuck out of the state. And it's funny because over the years I've had a lot of like interesting cars, a lot of fun cars. But like having this automatic, just super comfy daily driver has been kind of an interesting transition for me. And I gotta say, I kind of like it. After all these, like,
I don't want to say I told you so, but
yeah, I mean, you did tell me so frequently over and over. I do wish it was a manual.
yeah,
That's about it.
I
All of the
would.
wagons were automatic. So for reference, it's a four-cylinder automatic, which is like probably the worst spec for them, but you didn't have any option with the wagons. They all came that way. So, but yeah. don't know. What do you think, Drew? You like it, right?
Yeah, I love it. We owned a TSX and an MDX. So hopping in there is just like automatically good memories.
Right.
But yeah, it's just like those cars are so easy to drive and you really don't have to worry about anything. And even when you do have to replace something, like, you know, we did the timing belt on the MDX and that was like $300 in parts. And that was from the dealership, you know, go to, if you're doing the water pump or any, just the water pump on a BMW is $495, you know? So,
right. Well, and the thing is too, it's like, it's a, what effectively a Civic Si motor from the same generation. And then like the rest
so
of
it's a race car really, as well.
It's close.
It's a sport wagon.
I think it's the same. What's different between the two? I thought that was this exact same motor.
No. I mean, they're both K20s, but they're different specs.
Well, it's a K24.
Oh, yeah. Normally, I mean, yeah, it just doesn't rev as high.
Yeah, I don't know. This one tops out at 7, so I don't know how much further the SI goes. I mean, look, it's a heavy wagon. It's an automatic. It's certainly not a speed machine by any extent of the imagination. It's actually pretty slow. But I don't know. It's been good. I like it so far. Yeah. I had immediately thought, I'm like, oh well, I need to like get some coilovers and wheels just to like undatify it a little bit, because like I don't love how it sits, but I struggle because like I feel like it's gonna ruin the ride quality, and it rides so nice. It's so comfortable. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean,
what if you just get some lowering springs?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that would have to be the go-to move, but then like, it's on 17s now, so like a lot of that ride quality probably comes from that fat tire. So like I'm worried that going up to like an 18 or a 19 would make it be a little bit too harsh. I don't know.
I think 18s you'd be all right, but I don't know, man.
I mean it's not gonna be like super harsh.
Yeah.
I think it would be all right still.
Yeah, I mean it's worth a shot. Like I can always put the other wheels back on, right? But I don't know.
True.
I'm not having that itch like I thought I would, you know.
So for me, that's always been the best part of like Laura's cars is, you know, we'll buy something for her and I'll still drive it. I'll be doing exactly what you do. Like if I go anywhere, I take her car mainly if it's like an errand. And yeah, it's, people are like, oh, you should put new wheels on there. I'm like, no way, dude. No way in heck or hell, whatever.
No. I mean, yeah. What is it about this podcast that like ruins your censorship?
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, you know, I'm still in dad mode right now. Just put the kids to bed.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's about it. It's really not that super interesting of an update, but I don't know. Yeah, this is going to be a rough episode with us not being in the same room. We can't all hear the same thing. I didn't hear anything.
So. Yeah, I heard like probably super low in boost, like bass.
Sorry, listeners.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what else did we talk about last episode? I just want to kind of recap what we lost. We talked about the TSX. So I got a new car.
BMW driving school.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Andre went to M school. Yeah. So you want to give like a brief recap on that?
I went to a day of M school, which is, I don't know. It's basically like a all expense paid fun time on a track with a bunch of brand new M cars that you get to thrash around. And it was incredible.
Yeah. That was at Thermal, right?
Yeah. Which that place is kind of incredible.
Everything I've heard about it is amazing.
Yeah. It's basically like a golf club, like a country club, like a golf country club, yeah, but for race cars.
Nice.
It was the first time I've ever been on like a real track going like real fast, and it was terrifying, but it was super awesome.
How much is like Thermal a year? We called like a country club. Is it like ridiculous?
Like six, like six figure, like or seven figures.
Oh, okay.
Cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's literally more than you can afford, pal.
Yeah. And that's not including the house that you build trackside.
Yeah.
And all your cars, so it's more than we could all afford combined.
I don't know. If we all scrape together for the next 30 to 40 years, we might be able to afford a membership for 6 months.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. That's my retirement plan. I'm cashing out my 401k and getting a 6 month membership
to Thermal
and driving the Lexus around the track.
No roll cage.
Because I'll still be driving that.
No, the E39 will be done by then. You can make one lap before the motor goes one more time.
Before grenades again.
What kind of things did you do on the racetrack there, other than race?
So like BMW partnered with Thermal, so they have their own like little track built off to the side, where they do like a like they got a like a drift pad, which is like a polished concrete like circle where you can like drift around on, and they got like a little coned off autocross section, which we got to do, and then they had like a little coned off section where the instructor took you on a hot lap where he just drifted an M3 around the whole entire track. And then they had one actual thing on the thermal track where it was like a lead follow where you were, there's an instructor in a car in front, and then there's like four cars behind him. And then he would tell you like where to brake, where to turn in, where, what to aim for, like apex wise. And he would just, every lap he'd go like faster and faster, and you just try to keep up with him. So
nice. So what I'm hearing is you're going to buy an M3.
So there was like a solid week where like I heavily debated about just liquidating everything and getting a M3 competition.
I mean, I'm for that. I feel like that would be a lot of fun.
I would say do it.
I just can't do that.
You're not like you can't work on it either.
That's true.
Well, yeah.
Just drop the subframe. I mean, look, I understand that like that's probably not a wise investment, but like they're depreciating pretty steadily. Like I've seen some F80s pop up for surprisingly cheap, like
35s. I think 35s is the cheapest I've seen it.
Those are salvage title. I've seen like
I've seen one clean.
Yeah, what was it, like 100,000 miles?
Maybe 140.
Yeah.
Still looked at it, went well.
Yeah, I mean, I would wait a little bit until they've depreciated more.
Yeah, once, but they're once well the on their way down. Out, they're going to be the F, G, whatever, the G M3s.
Because you can get like an E90 for what, like mid-20s, I want to say?
There was one being sold for $15,000 the other day on Craigslist.
Well, that's...
Yeah, but what kind of condition was it? Was
I don't know, it was one rod picture. It was probably
all the way spun.
Probably a scam.
I've definitely seen them at that price, but like they've been, you know, bad motor or salvage title. Like they've definitely had some suspect issues that you don't want them at. But I feel like an E90 at like 22 is a really good buy right now. You know what I mean? Because you get like that super high rev V8, and I don't know. I like it.
Yeah, I'm sad. I missed out on one. It was salvage title, but it was $11,500, and it's because it kept stalling out. And I should have just looked at it. It was an E92. It was a coupe, white. Oh man, it was a beautiful car.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what that could be. Andre, any ideas what was?
Sure. I don't even know what that could be. probably throttle body actuators.
Okay. Oh yeah, ITBs.
So you get 11 grand for the car and then like 5 grand for the throttle body actuators, and you're good to go. Hey,
which point you could have just bought a running one.
Right.
Andre, what other updates do you have for us?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Do I have anything else?
I don't know. How's the build going?
It's not. Oh no! I guess I do have an update. I need a new block.
That's a pretty significant thing to need.
Yeah. So the whole thing, it's gone from like a horrific car wreck to now the family of both cars have died in my analogy here.
BMW ownership.
Wow.
You've only just begun, my friend. Just wait until you're in the phase where it's like, in the analogy, 4 years of litigation from the niece of the family who's at fault. I don't know. Keep going.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if his phone turned off or he's just glaring at me because I can't see him.
I think he just left.
I give up.
That's it. I'm out.
So why do you need a new block?
So, I don't know how. I mean, mainly probably because I'm dumb. I somehow, when I was looking everything over when I took it apart, I missed a gigantic, I don't even know what to call it. Like, it looks like somebody took 2 grit sandpaper to the side of the cylinder wall on one of the cylinders. So
which we found through me and Andre looking for motor blocks, engine blocks, that happens a lot more often than you think with the exact same damage.
Yeah, apparently.
Do they know what causes that?
I don't know.
Like, I saw it, I was there when you discovered it, and like the car was like running okay before this.
It was running completely okay, like no issues at all except for a check engine light.
Right.
Like it ran great. Just,
it makes me like wonder like how on earth could it be?
I'm guessing just not enough like oil in that cylinder from the timing chain guides like blocking the oil pump. And it's just the rings just not
they just dug in.
Colliding. Yeah, they just dug in.
Wow.
That's the only like logical thing I could think of.
I guess that makes sense. Still, I mean, the good news
is,
it
sucks, but
you discovered this now before you've really assembled anything. So like the block is already the block is already stripped, right? So like you're just substituting another block into the build process. It's not like you're going to have to rebuild or, you know. So if you're going to discover at any point, it may as well be when you have a bare block sitting.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the light at the end of the really dark, crappy tunnel. Yeah.
So any leads on a block?
No, I haven't really. Like, I kind of poked around a little, but then I just, like, Then this quarantine happened and I gave up.
There technically is a block, isn't there, Andre? It just happens to be attached to another car.
Okay, so here's the thing. I have recently discovered that I may have tested positive for BMW disease.
All right. Explain.
That's fatal.
It's a condition. I think it might be. It's a condition where as far as I can tell, all I look at now is BMWs that I want.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, and I can't stop myself.
So here's the thing. As someone who's been suffering from this condition for many, many years, it doesn't necessarily get better. You just learn how to hurt yourself less.
Yeah, or you find even
so it's like okay that. so you can definitely live with the disease is what you're saying.
You can definitely get by with the disease, yes. To pick my words very carefully.
Yeah, so I to answer Nick's question, I started looking, I like, you know, hopped on the internet, and in my head I was like, oh, I'm going to look at some front-end suspension parts for the Lexus to freshen it up because it's, you know, old and making some clunking. And 20 minutes later, I woke up texting a guy about a E38.
how did I get here?
And I don't know how I got there, and I don't know where that time went. But here I was on Craigslist with like 6 tabs open.
That's a way cooler car than the Lexus. I'm sorry, but it is.
Well, it's not replacing the Lexus, so
you're wrong.
Yeah,
I agree.
But I still can't help myself from looking. So
tell us about the CWA.
That's why I'm at in life.
This kind of segues into what
so,
it looks so good.
So this is E38. So I have this weird dream in my head of like a last model year, like an 01 short wheelbase M Sport package car with a manual transmission, right? They didn't make that, obviously, so I'd have to do it myself. And so here I found the perfect car. It's an 01. It's a sport package car. It looks super clean. It's got a bunch of miles, but that doesn't matter because I got everything to rebuild the motor.
Can I pause you there for a second? Someone's like rubbing paper in the background or something like that.
It's been driving me crazy.
I don't know.
If anyone's like shuffling wires or anything like that. Anyway, keep going, Andre. But
yeah, so I don't know. This I found this like perfect base for this project in my head. And I've just spent the whole day trying to convince myself why it's a bad idea.
So, like, you would have to manual swap it, right? And you would have to source a E39 six-speed, which, I mean, where are you going to find one of those?
I think I may have a lead on one. It's about 40 feet from where I'm sitting.
All right. It's in your garage. Well, you would
Right, I actually have
you
one.
You would still, you would need some more horsepower or something, so you'd have to supercharge it, because those things are pretty heavy. So, like, I don't know where you're going to get a supercharger.
Right.
M62.
So, I actually have a lead on that, too. It's actually laying right next to the transmission that's 40 feet away.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're going to need E39 clutch pedal and, like, a bunch of the little stuff to, like, finish that manual swap, and those are all fiddly bits that, like, I don't know, you'd have to get a whole donor car for.
You know what, I'll just come on and say it, I have one of those too.
Wow. Incredible.
I just happen to have an entire donor E39 that's completely torn apart in my garage, wouldn't you know it.
Well,
also, it, by the way, like, if you're listening, E38 is a 7 series BMW and the E39 is a 5 series BMW.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yes, for like late '90s, yes. Early 2000s.
I mean, I would imagine that anyone listening knows what that is. No,
nope. Somebody's listening.
I actually the only reason I know what he was referencing on E38 is because I happened to see the post and know that was a 7 series. Other than that, you would have said E38, and I would have been like, "Fuck, it's the F cars all over again from last episode." And I have no idea what we're talking about.
I thought it was E95.
Nick, we're going to make you some BMW flashcards so you can follow along with
after
us.
After the Porsche flashcards? Or do you have Porsche down? Yes.
Yeah, after you get Porsche down, we're going to get you some BMW flashcards.
We're going to make the flashcards, and they're going to have all the different codes, and when you flip it over, it's just a red E30 on Style 5s. Every single one.
Yes.
So, like, are you seriously considering getting this, or is this because, like, to be fair, before you got the E39, you were talking about getting an E38, and I had even said when you got it, I'm like, well, worst case scenario, which I feel like we're in, you could always get.
Oh boy, are we?
I said you could always use this car as a donor to build the E38 that you want to build. I did say that.
Yeah, and that's kind of like, that was kind of one of the reasons why that E39 was so appealing, because it was everything I would need.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I would think, can you use the drive shaft from the E39?
No, see, I don't know. I've read several different things. I don't think so.
So you need to figure out a drive shaft.
But then,
but everything else.
Would but also come maybe. Over.
I don't think the coilovers would come over from the E39. I think that's all different. So
no,
you could pretty easily part out that's what's left of the E39 to afford coilovers for the E38. So
right.
I don't know. Should we take a vote right now, live on the air?
I don't.
Do it.
Yeah, we got one for do it. We got two for do it. Andre, for the love of God, don't do it. Don't do it. I mean, we already have a majority, so like, I need to be the voice of reason here.
I don't know. We'll have to. I don't know. I spent all day trying to convince myself why it's a bad idea.
Okay, so here's the thing. When you do go to buy it, make sure you never get within 6 feet of the seller.
Yeah. Really awesome. Yeah. That's
you set, true. You set the money on the hood and slide it over to him. That's about 6 feet, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like this plan. They kind of, that's because I was thinking of things that we could talk about tonight, since, you know, I think everyone's been a little bit focused about things other than cars. And I was thinking about like new car purchases, and it happened to be a perfect thing that came up. You were,
yeah, that,
so next podcast,
I don't know,
in the E38.
Well, yeah, we'll just record from the car. Yeah.
That'd be comfortable.
That's true.
I guess one thing's worth pointing out too, it's kind of like a rare-ish color, and like the interior is perfect for what you want to do to it.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of checks all the, annoyingly, it checks all of the boxes.
Right. Because it's like a blue. Most of them were black or silver, I want to say. I feel like
they were all pretty dull colors.
Silver. I didn't even know that was an option to get a different color.
Yeah.
Yeah, they made like a few in cool colors.
Very few. I've seen a red one. When my 2002 got shipped.
Oh, the one of my favorite colors. It's that like dark burgundy.
Yeah, color. They come in that too. I was gonna say I saw like a bright red one. When my 2002 was shipped to me, sitting above it on the trailer was like a bright red E38 that was clearly in an accident. And it was like slammed and everything, but the front end was all messed up, and it puked oil all over my 2002. I remember when I got it, I had to immediately
clean
it, like that V8 had leaked all over the car, and like the wind managed to make it spread to like the very back of the car. It was a mess.
No, that sounds about right.
All right, cool. Well, I mean, think about it, sleep on it. But
yeah, I'm gonna do that.
Right. All right. Well, I don't know. I don't think any of us are really car shopping necessarily, but I mean, I guess we're always car shopping.
Drew always is.
I am too. I don't know about you, Nick.
No.
You're not shopping for anything right now?
Nah.
What? Okay. But if you were to buy something, what's the next thing you would get? Like major reasonable dream car.
If you were to buy something that's not another Miata, what would you get?
Another Miata.
I swear to God, if you say a Mercury Capri,
it's got a Miata motor.
That's where I was. 323? What? No, if I was looking out there to go buy another car right now, I kind of actually think I'd be going a little bit more vintage than what I've done before. Want to move something maybe towards carbureted setup. Something 70s, sticking probably within the Japanese area still. So probably like buy a Datsun 510, maybe look a 520 pickup, something of that nature. Old Toyota Corolla wagon, those are really dope. I love those.
Yeah.
So I'd probably do something kind of that nature. But right now I'm just kind of not even really watching the market too much on them. So it's one of those things. I'm just kind of taking that break after the last project a little bit, and
clearly you either have impeccable self-control or you just don't have the sickness, because I wasn't looking for a car either.
That's how it
works.
it's I think just because I'm not actively hunting, I think I've been a little like actually randomly more busier at work than I thought, so that's where I might take some time to do some hunting from time to time or see what pops up on the grams. Normally it's easier to find things for sale on the grams, but recently with so many stories from everybody, it's a little tougher.
If I get tagged in one more black and white favorite car, front end, rear end, undercarriage challenge.
Undercarriage arm challenge.
I stopped on those. I got tagged in about five of them yesterday.
I get it.
And I just went.
We're all bored.
I get
I've done a few of them now. You know, I'm trying to be a good sport because, like, normally I won't do them, period. Like, I just ignore them. I did a few of them to be a good sport because I realized we're all struggling, but, like, enough is enough. It's too much. I don't want to post that many photos of my car.
The worst one was the one that Nick did.
Yeah.
Well, that lasted 2 hours. I pulled it down because I literally was losing followers and I could not handle it. Like that. Like
Nick is all about the clout, and he's bleeding clout.
I wouldn't say bleeding clout, but I'm like not a fan of the photo to begin with. So it's like, I'm out.
All right. Well. So we got, I don't know, choose one out of the bunch. You mentioned a bunch of cars. Also, who is throwing stuff?
I'm gonna assume it's Andre trying to find a dongle because his phone's gonna die.
You know, you wouldn't be incorrect.
I thought you were just hammering on that block. Gotta get ready for me coming home tomorrow.
Pushing the E39 into the street.
Yeah, I got a tow truck coming to pick it up.
Okay, well, try to keep your banging around to a minimum.
My bad. I apologize. Realize, look,
I mean, there's nothing we can do. This is a quarantine cast at this point, but you know, we have some standards.
Well, I'm sorry.
All right, so pick one of that group, Nick.
Yeah, I can't.
It's very easy.
It's knowing that I'm like, I guess it's because I know my house is like at capacity until I shift some cars around. Because I know if I go look at them, like I'm going to want to buy one. I will buy one. And then it's going to be like, shit, what car goes outside? And it's like,
the Chevy Volt.
All right, nah. Yeah, I have to run then my cord outside.
This sounds like a very easy decision. I think Nick just doesn't have the same sickness.
Yeah, no, it's starting to become very clear he does not have the sickness. Nicholas is not down with the sickness.
I think it's different though, because like you guys will go to buy new cars, and instead, like, I haven't been looking at cars, but I've been looking at two UZs.
Ah.
So that's the difference. Like, I've not been looking at cars, but I've been looking at VAs.
Nick doesn't shop for cars; he shops for lifestyles. So you know. Right now, it's about to be a glamorous lifestyle. Long travel.
All right. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can.
Oh, fantastic. I figured out my charging problem.
Fantastic. Good for you. We're only 40 minutes into this.
Well, I'm down to 10%, so here we go.
All right, Drew, how about you? What are you looking at? Well, actually, you know what? We know what you're looking at getting next.
What?
A Volkswagen Bug.
He's looking at getting a Volkswagen Bug with a fat turbo on it.
Jeez. Yeah, we're not talking about that yet. Oliver just gets more annoyed.
it's getting pretty annoying.
Yeah, no, Nick knows why. But no, I think if I was in the market for anything that wasn't in my garage, I'd buy a 2002. I've actually started looking about last night. I've just been like, I've all throughout the day, I've just been like updating certain tabs. Like, oh, I wonder if there's one here, like places where I've had good success before.
Tucson.
As a matter of fact, we got to leave that out. You can't give it away. That's confidential information.
Dude, there's a weird amount of 2002s in Tucson. I don't know what it is, but there's like a community of them. There's like a lot hovering down there.
Yeah, that E38 was originally from Tucson.
Huh?
Yeah. We happen to know someone who bought an E39 wagon down there, you know.
That one didn't turn out so great, so you know.
It seems like most E39s don't, as it turns out. All right, so 2002. Do you care what year? Like, you're looking for?
It'd be around you for sure.
Yeah, have to be.
Yeah, actually, I don't even know, man. I think, you know, it sounds stupid, but sometimes you just see one and it kind of speaks to you. Like that blue one I had, like. I really enjoyed that car, the 74. I mean, yeah, I definitely
pastel blue.
Yeah, I regret all the time selling the black one, but you know, it is what it is. So
the black one. The black one was perfect.
Yeah, it was pretty badass.
That was the best 2002 ever, and that includes mine. That was better than mine for sure.
Yeah. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, maybe a Ford Contour SVT, but
there it is. One of us does need to buy one of those.
Man, group buy. We should buy one and then drive across the country
together. Hard pass.
Okay, so hear me out. You know that there are, you know, there's the Cannonball record, you know, coast to coast, but they have different classes. So like there's a record, you know, for running in like a truck, there's a record for like you know, all electric. We could have the front wheel drive mid 90s record.
Oh, see, I like that. Very niche.
Yeah. I mean, if it took us 4 days, it doesn't matter.
It's true. We don't ever have to speed.
Right. We can take our time, stop for lunch, use normal bathrooms. We don't have to have a bedpan in the back. We don't even need a fuel cell. All right, I'm in. Let me know when we're buying the car.
Yeah, I'm also in.
Yeah.
The roads are totally empty right now. It'd be a great time to do it.
You know what I would totally do too? Yeah. I still just want a like E90 328i wagon and then
right.
Do
it there you go.
Swap. That's why I would like to do that. But just out of practicality every day, I'm like, I should sell the Land Rover and buy a freaking truck, but I don't want to do that either.
I think you triggered Andre super hardcore right there.
Yeah, I don't understand why. It's pillar of reliability.
Andre, educate us on N54s.
N50 boom?
Might be the worst motor ever produced. No, that's not true. It's...
What about that motor in your E39?
So, surprise, I mean, yeah, my case set aside, as long as you do the timing change before they get too bad, that motor's pretty bulletproof. As far as M54s go, if you spend a whole bunch of money on aftermarket parts to make it super race car, then it still sucks.
Yeah, it's still like always on the verge of blowing up.
Oh, yeah. So, but you'll be able to hold like 30 pounds of boost.
Yeah.
And it's like hella sick, dog, but it's still trash.
There was a 135i on the freeway the other day, and we were kind of going back and forth, and he definitely had some work into it, but man, that was just such a good looking car. I was just so impressed. I was, you know, because you really don't see the 1 series. They were expensive for a while, and then I think they all blew up and, you know, disappeared. And I really like him. I like him a lot.
Were you That's doing wrong. Highway pools in your Land Rover?
No, I was in the Porsche. Oh,
so in your 912. Yes. All right, fantastic.
Yes.
All right, so it doesn't matter if he was blown up or not. He was still going to win. Yeah. All right, so Drew's pick is a E90 wagon with a trash motor slot.
Nah, I'd still go with that 2002, but realistically, I need to buy a truck.
All right.
So hold up. I'm going to pause a moment here. Did we just realize that this group is, what are we looking at here, 80%? I can't even do math. 75% all BMW fanatics?
I would not say fanatic. The thing, the other
fanatic.
I think I'm the only true fanatic.
Yeah, fanatic is a little strong.
I'll use a different adjective, but you just all mentioned what vehicle you would look to buy. Not yet for you, Oliver. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm assuming BMW for you. But like we're literally, you mentioned BMW, Andre. Drew, you mentioned BMW. We know where this might head toward. Now, Oliver's would probably be.
Yeah, I was going to say, you already know what I'm currently shopping for.
It's going to be a Porsche.
Despite
which is
me being the biggest fanatic of the group, it's not a BMW.
I mean, if money wasn't an object, it would be more Porsche for sure. And then also possibly Alfa. I'd really like Alfa. And then also a crap bag, late 91 Civic Si hatchback with a K-swap turbocharged, making 380 horsepower to the wheels. Anything more?
Yeah, I want like a second gen Viper if we're going, you know, whatever we can buy.
Russian mullet with that.
Yes, dude. There's a Viper for sale right now. $35,000.
I
know. Oh my god. I know. Really seriously considered.
Wait. So thinking about that, like Russians really don't have mullets, or do they? Or do you just like shave the stuff on the side of your head? Because whatever it is, you'd have to do it.
Is because you'd have a Viper.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you can make fun of me all you want, but at the end of the day, I have a giant, giant pushrod V10, and you can suck on all of my pushrods.
Wow. Sounds very solid.
That was the most Viper owner thing I've ever heard.
Dude, I'm meant for it. I'm meant for the life.
It's my phallic shaped car. Well,
that should be a shirt that is sold to the Viper Owners Club of America.
I'll start it. When I get my Viper, I'll start that.
No. Print those shirts now. Sell them to the Viper owners and then buy your Viper using the profits from that.
Just like small text on there saying funding my Viper.
Yeah, that's genius. I love it.
Oh my god. I mean, to get back to your point, Nick, as if I haven't had enough work from home calls where I've heard that. I think everyone here likes BMWs except you, I think.
You are correct.
I mean,
remember when you used to be the biggest BMW hater?
I still hate them. I'm
Pepper as far as you remember.
I'm ashamed of it. I'm in the BMW closet.
All right.
Oh, honey, you've walked out of that.
It's like everyone's aware, but you haven't said it, so we don't really want to draw attention to it. Yeah,
that's exactly.
That's the situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you tell everyone, we're like, oh, cool. What do you want for lunch? All right, awesome. Well, I guess my turn.
Yeah, do it live. Sorry, I didn't mean
to. No, it's fine. Right, because I guess it's worth calling out that I am not currently window shopping for any BMWs. I'm looking for a 964 because I feel like the market is about to take a big dump for 964s. So they might actually be attainable for the only time in my lifetime. So yeah, I don't know. I've been kind of browsing. Dude, like, I don't know. I don't know if you guys browse Bring a Trailer as much as I do, but I've been looking at the data, and they've been trending downwards, to be sure. They haven't had the best examples go for sale on the site, but, like, examples that I thought would have brought huge money kind of did middle of the road or average, and they've had a few rougher examples that are certainly bringing dollar signs below what I think anyone expected. They just had one that, like, it has a bit of a sketchy history. Once, like, I read through the comments and then I looked at the VIN, and there were some Renlist postings about that car. It kind of had a weird history, but, like, still, it sold for 40 when the average 964 is going for what, Drew? 60?
Yeah.
And it was a running driving car, like, it ran perfectly. There was nothing wrong with it exactly, it just kind of had a sketchball history. So, like, they're clearly trending downward, and then, like, with the grim general global outlook, I feel like 964s are going to be somewhat obtainable soon. So I've been kind of half-heartedly browsing them, thinking like, well, maybe I should get one before I can never get one again. So I don't know. I guess kind of worth noting is our logo for our podcast is a 964. So
that's true. You sell like ornaments or something.
Is that because you made it?
Oh yeah, I happen to have the artwork sitting around. So. but yeah, I don't know. I've been looking at those. I feel like that's an obtainable dream car. Like, I don't know about you guys, but like when I think was something reasonable or attainable that I can get, I feel like '90s base model Porsche. That should be attainable, right?
Should be.
You'd think.
Should be. Yeah.
We'll see. So that's.
No. It makes sense, especially looking at the market now. I guess, looking at different things, you can check other parts of the market. Some cars have popped up for sale, like what you've sent me, that wouldn't normally hit the market because some people are trying to free up some cash, I think, to make some bigger moves themselves. So I think definitely now might be the time.
So, I mean, we'll see. It's a huge amount of money still, and, like, certainly I'm not going to just drop every last penny I have into a mid-90s Porsche when who knows what's going to happen next week. But I think I'm going to keep an eye on them. And like, if one actually comes up within a reasonable budget, I might actually try to pick it up because frankly, I don't know when I'm going to have the opportunity again. And man, do I want a 964. I think you guys all know I have not shut up about the 964. So.
Your love of the 964 taught me the difference between G bodies, 964s, 930s, 993s. Like I have learned a tremendous amount because of your love of the 964.
It's like the perfect car, man. I don't know. And that's
also 964 was 93, right? Which was
that's
your
true. Yeah, I mean, if I could find a 93 964, I'd that'd be it. Like that's the car. You can bury me in it. Because like that's all I want. If I can find a white one with a black interior, like perfect. But the odds are I'm gonna find like a crappy light blue one with a sand beige interior with an automatic transmission. I don't know.
I wish I had a car that I wish I had a car that I was so diehard for. There's not too many different kinds of cars.
LS 400.
I have one. I want
a Miata.
I was gonna say, is it another Miata?
No, not it. It's what's not. That? It's not. It's the other thing that's on my wall. The like 72.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's like when that's... I asked the question. That's the sort of thing I had in mind. And then Drew's over here talking about buying a truck.
Oh, see, I thought you were just asking we wanted to buy, like what we were looking at.
Yeah,
if you're talking like dream cars, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, I said absolutely. I did say reasonable dream car.
Oh well.
Yeah. Nah.
So now the Haka is something I would want to go ahead. I've looked at one in Texas a couple times, but
I don't even know what Haka is.
That I think is a disease of some sort. A Hakasuka it's like the original Skyline GTR.
What is this? What is this Waka Flocka we're talking about?
Does it spit? It sounds like it should spit.
It was like one of the cars when we were at Japanese classes, you'd be like, Is that a Skyline? Or whatever. Or is that a GTR? It is the original GTR. So think of 71, 72, 73. It's a little bit of a big boy 510 in kind of design styling. I know that's a terrible way to describe it, but like if you don't know what it looks like, but you know what a 510 looks like, lengthen it, make it a little bit sleeker, give it a better power, better sound, and everything else. And then
I feel like it's more like a big boy 240Z. I mean, I understand what you're talking about styling wise, but in terms of like what it is, it's like
exactly.
Oh, it's like the 240Z.
Like, where are the new ones are going to go in pricing?
No, I mean, they're steadily dropping. You can get, like, a GTR for, like, $50,000 right now.
I mean, if you could buy one for like 25, would you do it?
Sure. I like the GTRs. They're just a little boring, but I mean, they're fast as hell, but like, they, you know, not super interesting. But this isn't exactly that. This is much older and has a little bit more personality. Way cooler. I put a photo in our collective chat if you guys want to take a look at it. But...
And so the really funny part about the photo of that is I actually have the exact 10 by lean customs of that car.
Oh, yeah. Hey, there you go.
At my desk right now. So
what do those sell for? That exact... Like, how much do those go for?
I just pulled up my Burzo hunt. There's nothing going on right now. A true DTR is going to get you potentially right now in the 75, 85 area.
Yeah. What about like even the higher, lower spec ones though?
40 cheapest I found was like a four door for like 35K that needed some love. But normally you're really around the 40 to 45 at the very low end area. So that's like, it's one of those cars where it's like, if I go to execute, like I'm going to have to put away for a while and then not build out any other crazy cars like I've done.
Right.
Which I think is doable not to build something out for a while.
Yeah, I think so. I think you've had enough of that now.
I almost started tearing apart the 1.6.
No, God, please don't. Well, I guess that doesn't matter. Just as long as it doesn't spiral out of control into a whole nother Miata. But... yeah, I feel like that's totally attainable. Just it has to be. Normally, I'm a four door kind of guy, but I think those have to be two door because the four doors look kind of awkward on those.
Agree. Yeah, normally, like I can even get down with the Datsun 510 four door. Like, and normally, I'm not a four door guy, but
that's because you barely notice the rear doors.
Like, yeah, they're not bad on a 510.
Yeah, on those on the Hakos, they're a little bit meh.
Yeah, high. So yeah, no, that's so yeah, if we're talking about things, I also like randomly just, I think it would be fun. I don't know if I would ever want to own it for like an extended period of time, but I really want to drive like an AutoZam AZ1.
Oh yeah. Those are cool.
The
with the gullwing doors. There was
that was
back when Matt Farah was doing videos for the Drive Network. There was like a period of time where they went behind a paywall and they released an AutoZam review.
That was weird when they did that. It failed.
Oh. Sorry about that, guys.
Oh my gosh.
Now it feels like an old school Call of Duty game. yeah, no, the reason they did that, Drew, is because the guy who started the company defrauded everyone, stole all the money, and they were desperately scrambling to get any sort of funding.
Wow.
The guy's in jail now. Like he literally is in prison for it. But that's why they did that, because it was like a last ditch attempt to save the network. But they did an AutoZam review, and it's the only, because at the time I was like broken in college and I couldn't afford their paywall. It was the only video of theirs that I like went to great lengths to find for free online. I forgot what website. It was some weird third party. You know, everything was like backwards and the audio was slightly shifted. But I watched that, and Matt Farah was driving this little AutoZam, and he said it was like the weirdest driving experience. It's like super buzzy, but super slow. So, yeah. I don't know. That'd be cool. Do you fit in one? I'm assuming you do.
Maybe now. I think I can. I see the guy that fits in the, like, there's that Honda Beat that's around, and, like, people that, like, so, like, I feel like I've got a chance.
I feel, we got to explain, there's a guy in our area who owns a Honda Beat who's, like, what, 6'5", 300 pounds?
Yeah, he's not a small dude, and
he's a huge dude, and he's just driving around this tiny Honda Beat. Like, he owns it, he understands the irony of it all, but it's just kind of
the
funny.
Hilarity. He drives it a lot, too. I passed him leaving from work.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he drives it a lot. A top's always down, and I just assume that's because if top was up, like, it just doesn't fit anymore.
That's, like, the only way to drive that thing. What?
Nothing. Nothing.
All right. That's throwing some weird shade for a guy just living his best life?
Or? No. The email just popped up and said, sign a petition to lock down Arizona. I was just like, no. But let's not talk about that.
All right.
Yep.
That's
so AutoZam.
Bring up on you.
Drew, you would not fit in it. We already determined that in a Japanese class.
Dude, you gotta post that picture.
I gotta dig it up. I have no idea where that photo is.
Sitting on the ground, my head's like above the roof line.
Like above the windshield line.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely couldn't drive that.
Yeah, other cars I would buy, because, you know, we kind of skipped over. Like, I didn't realize both Andre and I were just kind of idiots about it. But I would definitely like a older Alfa Romeo for sure. That'd be really cool.
Like a GTV?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Because, like, the dream is to own a GTA. I would love a GTA, but those are, what, $150,000 cars now?
So yeah.
I feel like that's not even obtainable.
Drew, new Petrolicious video of Alfa Romeo GTV is out today.
Heck. Oh, yeah.
They have a special going on their membership.
$29. I will. Yeah.
Tempting. All right. How about you, Andre? Now that you understand the rules of the game,
it's an E38 still,
but it's blue.
Oh, I think we lost Andre.
Am I? Hello.
Hey, there we go.
Oh, hi there.
So there's this blue E38 on Craigslist. I mean, a second gen Viper, that was a legitimate. I've always wanted one of those. Preferably blue with the white stripes, obviously. Oh, but
that's a spec.
But realistically, any color, it doesn't matter as long as it's a second gen. I don't really know. I'm bad at dream cars because, like, I want so many different cars and none of them are, like, super special.
Yeah.
So, like.
Well, but, like, who cares? It's special to you. There's nothing special about my E36 M3. Like, that's literally, if you're looking at all of the M3s, the worst M3. But it's special to me because I like it.
Yeah, but it's still like an iconic car. Like, it's still an M car. And like all the...
Sort of.
All the other stuff, like Nick's Nagasaki Haka whatever. You know, that's like an iconic car. I just want like... I want another 240 Volvo.
That's an iconic car.
It is.
I mean, I guess.
Andre, have you seen the guy in Sweden who's putting a Gallardo V10 in his?
Yeah, I have seen. Yeah, I don't know about that.
what do you mean you don't know?
Like the allure and the aesthetic of that car is that shitty red block that it's got in it that makes like
how much fun would it be to have your old Volvo wagon with the roof rack and you start it up and it's just a straight pipe Gallardo.
Yeah, I mean that would be kind of cool.
Right. Yeah. It's like it's not even like a V8 or something like sleeper. It's like, oh, what the hell is going on?
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. That thing's cool. All right. So we got Viper. What about like a Z06? You've talked about a Z06 a few times.
Well, it'd be
a Grand Sport.
Yeah, it'd be a C6 Grand Sport, so the roof can come off. I guess that's kind of in the same realm as a Viper, though. I mean, same type of car, just different powertrain,
push rods.
Right? Yeah, just push rods, just less of them.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's. I feel like those are all solid choices. I feel like we got a good lineup here. So we got old school Alphas. We got Porsche 911s, we got Vipers, and Nick wants a Toyota Corolla.
Oh, no, I got it. I know. Hold on, I got a really good answer.
Okay.
It's a W108 Mercedes, yes. which is like a late 60s S-Class before S-Class was a thing.
I literally almost said that, dude.
That is a dream car of mine.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That is a dream car of mine. I want one so bad.
I always look at those, but I'm just like, I can't fit that in my house.
I mean, they're not that big.
Yeah, and I just have too much other crap.
Well, yeah, that's true. Crap.
God, they're so good. Oh, God, they're so good.
You,
like the 280 Oliver, SE. You, oh.
You know that that Instagram post I sent you with that video of the coupe?
Yeah.
It's that car, but four-door.
Right.
And I've wanted one of those for a very long time now. So that's my choice.
Yep. That's
cool. All right, that's a fair choice. But like how reasonable? I thought those were like crazy expensive. No,
dirt cheap. They're dirt cheap. You can find the awesome example for like 10 grand.
Send me some.
I have.
Have you?
Yeah. It just depends. If you're getting
okay, so that one that you just sent, it's like the front headlights, there's like four headlights, not one glass piece, but there's like four separate headlight pieces.
Yeah, I just like that one better. That'd be like my top.
Yeah, but that's not what he wants.
this one? That
we're talking about. I think the one Andre wants is way more expensive.
That's W108.
Anyway, all right, cool. I like everyone's options. Nick, do you want to change your option before we?
Nope, I'm in.
I like your style. What's funny is we kind of half-heartedly laugh, but we all know that if Nick got a Corolla, it would be way cooler than our Viper, old Alfa Romeo, or Porsche, because Nick just excels at making cars really cool.
Here's what would happen. I'd buy the cheap Corolla and then dump the same amount of money that you bought your Viper in to be like, aha, look, I made it prettier. But that's what would happen.
Yeah, but then like it's instantly cooler than the Viper. So
I don't know. That one Viper, I gotta say, you sent it to me. I don't know. I just think that's the coolest.
I sent it to everyone because I desperately want someone to buy it.
It's the coolest looking Viper.
All right. Well, do you guys have anything else that you want to go over?
Is anybody working on any projects currently? I think we might want to wrap up
a project.
Yeah. What you got?
Oh my goodness! Everything. So I started working on the E36 before we went into quarantine, and I was doing front subframe, steering rack, control arm bushings, control arms, yeah, just general refresh of everything up front, including my oil pan gasket, because my oil pan gasket was shot. It was to the point where like I took out the last bolt and the pan just fell to the floor instead of sticking to the block. That's how bad it was. So I replaced all that, but I've been having some issues with like my power steering hose is going back incorrectly. So like that's been kind of a slow reassembly. And then despite having all the time in the world, like I just haven't been out in the garage lately. So I need to wrap that up this weekend. I'm hoping to get that done. But I think my next big project is actually I'm going to outsource some of the stuff on the E36. Yeah. I need to do all the rear subframe. But the problem is when you drop the rear subframe, you really should reinforce like the chassis, like weld in some plates. And I don't have a welder.
E46 thing.
No, it's E36 too. It's less prevalent. Like people don't talk about it as much, but the trailing arm pockets, so like where the trailing arms kind of tuck up into the chassis, those are pretty weak. And if the bushings go bad, it can like it sort of acts like a hammer, and it keeps smashing into the metal until it like tears. So you put some metal in there to secure it, and then right where the subframe bolts up to the chassis, if you're going to abuse the car, like you're going to drive it hard. Just the subframe shifting around kind of pushes the mounts, and it doesn't rip them out like the E46s, but it definitely cracks. So it's highly advisable to reinforce all that. And I can't weld, so I think I'm just going to take it to a shop. Because as much as I don't mind doing the rear bushings, because I have all the time, I don't know. I feel like that's a...
I think that's pretty reasonable.
Because like if we're going to do it, if we're going to pull out the subframe, I really should just fix it so it doesn't tear itself out later. And if they're going to be doing that anyways, I may as well have them do the bushings. So, you know, they're already in there. So that's kind of, I don't know. I'm putting my brakes on.
Heck yeah. Those that's look kind of cool. So good.
Yeah. My Porsche Brembos on my M3. So I got 996 Carrera calipers, just like the non-turbo stuff. And they're fixed big brakes. And with some adapter brackets, they bolt right up. And unlike previous Frankenstein big brake kits that I've tried to do in the past, this is actually fitting really nicely and everything seems to be working so far, knock on wood. So, I'm going to finish that up, bleed the whole system, and I'll have my like big brake kit light, I think is the best way to think about it. It's not like a proper big brake kit, but it's certainly better.
Well, it's fitting for your M3 light.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. In before Drew makes
the joke. I literally made that same joke, I guess, 10 minutes ago when I was saying it's the worst of all the M3s. So I guess that's what I got going on. It's a pretty substantial overhaul. But by the time I'm done, it'll have like fresh bushings. I have my brand new coilovers on there, brand new steering rack. I put a ZHP steering rack in there. Everything will be new, so it should feel like really taut.
Taut as a tiger.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Beyond that, there's not a lot else going on.
All right. Drew, you working on anything?
So I ended up getting the 912 running and pretty well dialed in, which I'm happy about. Now I just need to finalize my ride height and then take that for alignment and finally got the ABS module replaced on the S2000, so that's good to go. Just needs to be cleaned up, as Nick knows. And then tomorrow, I'm going to be looking at, I'm going to use a Bluetooth scanner and figure out what the check engine light is on the BMW, then order the parts for that, and probably order a bunch of parts for the Land Rover, just like front suspension stuff. And then it's leaking a lot of oil from the valve cover, so I'm going to do that too. So yeah. But the good news is like once all this stuff's done, like I'm gonna be like I'll just be way happier because I don't have to worry about all this stuff. I've just fallen behind on all of it and it's been really just almost upsetting. So yeah
I guess then I wouldn't call it a benefit or an upside to all of this, but we do have nothing but time. So, you know.
Well, some of us.
That's true. You're still going to work. You are essential.
My life has literally not changed since all of this started. I still go to work. I still come home. I just can't. Well,
there's less toilet.
I was going to say, I just can't buy toilet paper if I run out.
Somebody needs a roll. I got you. We only bought one package, but it's enough to like hold us up for like 3 months. So
nice.
That's pretty good.
Andre, we kind of know what your updates are. We touched on that at the beginning. You're buying a whole other car.
Yeah,
you are.
Well, we'll see.
Nick, anything going on with the Miata that you're doing? I wouldn't say there's any big projects going on, are there?
I'm going to drop in a new driveline.
That's news. That's the first I've heard about this. Are you doing 6-speed?
No, the 6-speed sold. The only other 6-speed I found, like at a proper price with mileage, is located in the UK with a guy I know. Shipping that over from the UK would be a tad pricey.
There must be more. There's like here locally.
There is, like... but some of the locations of like the suppliers, they're not necessarily working right now. They can, but they've just decided not to.
Well, I mean, that's. I don't think you'd have much better luck getting anything from England right now.
Yeah, well, that's right. It's actually funny with that. Like the new Petrolicious, like quarterly, we all got the email with it that said, "Hey, we'd love to get it to you, but it's made and printed in Italy right now." We're not gonna. And I was like, you can keep the fourth quarter a moment. I'll come back to it later. But no, it's so I have a driveline literally just sitting in the garage. It's when I went to put the car together, I thought I was hearing some noises from the driveline. Turned out it was actually just because I didn't have the wheels on the back of the car when I had it stood up running on the rack. So I have a new driveline, so I'm just going to pop it in. Finally take care of the window regulators and the bushings there.
Yes.
So.
Hell yeah. Oh, we lost the story in the last podcast. We should finish. Yes.
We'll finish with this and what the project I'm working on. Other than that, I mean, a ton of organization going on in the garage. So I'm pretty nice. Stoked on how it's coming together right now. But nice. Yes, so why I'm doing the window regulator is Oliver and I went to this awesome Cars and Coffee event. It was kind of an invite only.
Invite only.
No big deal. Guys. Yeah.
So we went to it. We were parked together, and then they tapped me to go move my car up over.
They said, please get away from that horrible E36. What are you doing? That
BMW Euro trash.
I literally had the worst car there.
So to go move it, by the way, so my start button, with the Zoom start button, I actually was up under the dash checking some of the connections. They're fine, but it has this like little where it doesn't always like to trigger the actual starter. You have to tap it a few times. So it just sounds like I'm trying to put it into gear until it finally goes on. So Oliver catches this and like he can hear me hitting the button a few times, like click, 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 and then it finally goes to start. And then I go to...
Someone literally said they're like, uh-oh, we can't have one of the Mazdas not start. So I was like, the irony is you were like the only piston-powered Mazda there.
That was the only non-rotary Mazda there. And so then I get over there to go pack in the spot, and I go to basically stop the car, turn it off, but turn in an accessory to roll the windows down. Now, my window regulators and bushings are so shot, they wouldn't actually go down all the way with the car off. So I actually had to start the car up again and with the car running, finish rolling the windows down. But even then, that took a good, I would say.
Yeah, it was like a solid minute because like it was confusing watching. Like I saw you get into the car. It took a second to start. You like back into this space up front because they wanted you to show off the car there. And then like, you turn it off and then hear it come back to life and you're just sitting there idling for like a solid, literally 60 seconds.
Yep.
The windows are just, and I'm watching the windows very, very slowly sink into the car. Yes,
it is bad. So that's been on the to-do list. I've been ignoring it while I've been cleaning up the garage because after redoing the fuel system, there was just shit everywhere. But that's not leaking anymore, but yeah, that was pretty embarrassing, but I faced that issue. So there is a follow-up to that same issue that I had to relive again. So a couple weeks ago when I went to have the photos taken of the car in downtown Gilbert, I'm sitting there in front of Oso, literally just sitting in the middle. I pull over into the little like drop off area so a cop can go by me. That's how much I found out, by the way. They don't really care that much. A cop literally just drove past me and then I moved out again. But she went to have me roll up to her and roll my window down so she could give me direction for photos. And I just had to open the door because I couldn't actually get the
You're like, nope, not
I
happening.
Couldn't get the window down in time. I'm like, hey, what's going on? And she's like, oh, hey, can you go over here? I did learn at that adventure as well with the ITBs. It does not become very happy when you sit in idle for like 15, 20 minutes at a time and not move.
Really?
What happens? It gets so hot that at lower gear at the beginning, it will try to run lane a moment. So you got to basically just get it out, get some air going through it and give it some gas. But like going to the parking garage after it was sitting a while, it kept like jolting a moment. And I'm just like, don't mind this. My window doesn't roll down and the car is kind of hopping around. No big deal. This car definitely isn't a piece of trash. So the windows, that is what I'll be doing. The goal is Saturday to go ahead and finish getting the garage cleaned up. And then I think Sunday, get the window regulators done. It's just I have to remove the full glass entirely out of the door. So, like, that's only the nerve-wracking part of, like, don't drop it.
Right. Yeah, that's probably pretty terrifying.
But yeah, no, that's a...
I'm sure you can get through it.
Yeah, we'll ride.
I'd offer to come help, but...
No, we're good. We're keeping, we're doing safe. We're keeping even the tool swaps safe, which I can...
I borrowed some tin snips from Nick, and it basically went down. He left it on his front patio, and I swung by later to come pick it up. And no interaction. Didn't see him. I said thank you to your ring, though. I don't know if you caught that.
Yep, no, I did. I did something similar as well to somebody else this week. They had one of my wrenches, so I dropped off something on their wall, picked up my wrench, and then went back home.
I think I'm going to set up like a take a tool, leave a toolbox in the front of my house. And
they'll just be gone.
Yeah. Well, I'll only tell my friends about it.
Oh, true. Yeah, good call. Andre,
if you need any tools, you can just drive an hour to get them.
Like it.
Hey, Andre, to close this out, are you recording from our studio, which is also in your house? Are you sitting in there? I'll take the silence as a yes. All right, well, I guess that's pretty indicative of how we do most things. So you guys want to close it out
here? Yeah. We can, now that we figured this out, we can do it next week, too.
Yeah, I was thinking we'll try to do this throughout our quarantine, because I imagine we're probably in this for the next month or two. Yeah. So we gotta stay connected somehow, but we definitely need to upgrade our sound quality a little bit. So we'll have this one be on phones and the next one, hopefully better quality, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool, guys. Well, thanks for talking. And to those who did sit through this episode, really appreciate you listening. Be sure to follow us on Instagram over at Supercarcast. Don't post too often because our episodes are kind of sporadic, but we're getting better about it. And, I think as we kind of emerge from this this horrible time, we'll start posting more on there because we'll have more to do. We'll be going to more events and whatnot. So I guess we have that to look forward to, right, guys?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, I will talk to you guys later, and thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Later.